Hello and welcome to the Racing Postcast, proudly sponsored by Unibet. And what a weekend of racing we've got lined up for you. Everything you need for ARC weekend, as well as some fantastic racing in Britain. I'm your host, James Stevens, and we'll be looking at the big one at Longchamp, the Arc de Triomphe on Sunday. Loads of fancies and insight on the big race, so stick right with us. But it doesn't stop there. Before we get to Longchamp, we've got a fantastic day in Britain to look forward to. There's Group 1 action at Newmarket, Cinderella's Dream. Before she goes to the Breeders' Cup, she's going to try and win the Sun Chariot there. That's one of four live ITV races we'll be covering on the postcast from Newmarket. And we also got five at Ascot to look forward to, including a really good Group 3 sprint and an 18-runner handicap. Should be pretty straightforward. We're also going to head north for Red Car, their biggest race of the season, the two-year-old trophy. Joining me to discuss the action, we've got our betting editor, Keith Merrows. Matt Rennie, fresh from his 140-1 punt treble. He's going to hopefully continue his red-hot form. Red-hot Rennie and Brett Williams replacing Ed from Unibet. Let's go straight to France, though. For the ARC, one of the highlights of the season. This is, of course, the 3:05 at Longchamp on Sunday, the Qatar Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe. Will it be France? Will it be Ireland? Will it be Britain? Will it be Japan? We will wait and see. Well, currently at the top of the betting is Mini Hawk at 7-2 for Aidan O'Brien. Aventure, last year's runner-up, 4-1. Sozi at 10s, along with Kalpana, the leading British-trained hope in the race. Not two good draws, as we report here on Thursday afternoon, for the Japanese Raiders. Byzantine Dream, ridden by Oshin Murphy, he looks the best of them at 11-1. Croydon Ord, 12-1. Really tough draw for him on 17 of 18. Darris at 14s, along with Qualificar and Gazora. Estrange at 16s, along with Aloha Ali. Quisisana, 25s. And Chia Valletto, 33-1 bar, with Los Angeles and Lafarge. Keith, let's bring you in. The ARC on Sunday, what's the lowdown?
Well, we've had the draw and there's still a lot of fallout from the draw as we're recording this. History suggests you want to be in that slug from 2-7 in the draw. And the best of the draw pretty much has gone to horses like Alohi Ali and Sosi, who's in 3. I was pleased to see one of my two horses in there. I'm trusting Fabra this year. Sosi is one of them. He's just been campaigned with the ARC sort of all season. They got him out in 2 group ones in the spring, and then I've just campaigned him for the ARC all autumn, really. So he's in 3. He has basically got the plum draw in the whole race, according to sort of history. And it makes sense, because you need to get in a good position for that long sort of run up to the first bends. And the best way of doing that is being just off that rail. People are talking about Mini Hawk's draw like it could have been a negative. It's not really. Only Zarkava's won from stall one going back 35, 40 years, but there's been loads of seconds, loads of thirds, and loads of top five finishers come out of stall one. It's not a bad draw. If she's good enough, she'll win from there. It just makes it slightly more complicated than if you're in 3 or 4. You can't quite pick your place quite as easily, but it's still a good place to be. But I've said before, I'm on Sosi. I put him up actually in the postcast a few weeks back. I thought he would shorten right up. He hasn't actually yet, if I'm quite honest, but he will now. I think he'll go off second favourite, seeing as everything else, Aventure, Croydonor, the Byzantine Dream, the other sort of runners to be second favourite have all got worse draws than him, significantly worse draws than him. So I can well see Sosi going off second favourite. I think he's the best horse in the race if he stays. You know, he's never quite convinced as properly seeing out a mile and a half. He's not in many attempts, to be fair, but that's the doubt with him. I do think he's the best horse in what's a very open, read quite weak arc if he gets the trip, and 3 give them the best chance of doing that. But as I mentioned, Fabra is the man for me this year, and Qualificar is his other horse. Just got the classic Fabra 3-year-old arc profile. You know, he's run in the Prix de Jockey Club, finished second in that race, having got the worst of the draw out of all the horses that ended up involved in the finish. And I thought he still looked green in that race. You know, he's been a bit of a late starter. He'd worked his way through the grades to get there. After that, he went for the Prix Goyon Dorano, and he was third there, beating favourite. But we know what Fabra does. We know that's a prep run. And he was much better in the Niel. The bear from the Niel is garbage. No glossing over it. But Qualificar was value to win that race by 2-3 lengths. You know, he got no run until well inside the final furlong, and he still quickened up to go past them like they were standing still. And he also has a big long stride in him, so he can quicken, and he's a big long strider. He's just a good horse. His dam won the Oaks as well. You know, he's really bred to get this trip. He's bred to thrive as a mile and a half horse and thrive under these conditions. He's in eight, which isn't a bad draw. And yeah, I just don't... How it was not very long ago at all that in an open arc would have gone, well, who's the Fabra three-year-old? And we'll trust that one. And it had gone off 4 or 5 to 1. Whereas Qualificar still 14, 16 to 1. I think it's one of those. There's too many options. And I think one of the obvious ones is being overlooked, and it's this horse.
Yeah, make a good point there. Certainly one in the race, and there's not too many you'd look at in the race, Keith, where you think this horse still has quite significant untapped potential. So two interesting shouts from Keith Sozier and Quaffifar, if I can say it even. Matt, well done last week with your 140 to 1 treble. No pressure on you this week, but we're expecting something similar.
Yeah, it's once in a blue moon, isn't it? That sort of stuff happens. Look, I've been to and fro throughout the whole week, really, of who I'm going to back in the arc. I've narrowed it down to the two Wertheimer and Freire horses. I mean, on Monday, on our YouTube front page show, I said Aventure, but now I've changed my mind and I'm agreeing with Keith on Sosie, just because of the draw today. You know, I backed Sosie last year thinking he was going to be a good thing in the race, and I was slightly underwhelmed with him. And look, I wouldn't want loads and loads of rain. He's got good form on soft ground, but he has been, most of his losses have come on heavy or very soft ground, as it was in the arc last year when it was really, really hammering it down. But I just, as you said, I think Favre's had this in mind the whole season for him. Thoroughly impressive. During the year, he just found the ground in the eclipse was just too quick for him over a trip. Sort of, he was just barely outpaced, really. And I think he's got more to come. I think, you know, with the draw, I was just looking back at history actually this morning. Carroll House in the late 1980s won it from 16, but no one's ever won it from 17 or 18 since our records started in 1988. So you can immediately strike a line through Croix de Nord and Estrange, who are outdrawn in Chanty rather than Longchamp from this morning. So it's still like a flip of the coin, but I think I've landed on Sosie to avenge his defeat last year. I just think he might just be the best horse in the race.
Okay, so two shouts for Sosie. Matt and Keith teaming up there with one of the big French hopes of the weekend. Let's bring you in, Brett. Just before we get into your selection, the draw has had some sort of impact on the betting, it seems, with, as we mentioned, Croix de Nord, who's drifted since being drawn 17 of 18. It's not favourable, as the stats suggest.
No, it's not. And as you said, that has had quite a bit of an impact in the betting. It's a wide open contest anyway, isn't it? But obviously, once the draw comes out, you just see a sort of few horses shift one way or the other. Strong support, though, for Mini Hort. There's a few horses that wouldn't be our best result. The likes of Estrange, there's been a lot of people on big prices with her. And also Calpana. I mean, she's got cheap pieces on for the first time. So that could be quite interesting. She's not quite looked the same sort of horse that I think everybody hoped and thought she was going to do sort of this time last year when she went on Champions Day. But she was second in the King George. That's not a bad trend going into this race, of course, because so was Blue Stock, and he went on to win it in the same colours. But I agree with everything that Keith said. I'm really keen on Qualificar here for Andre Favre. He's got all the sort of ticks in the right boxes. As you said, I had no luck in running at all in the hour last time. You know, jockey was just sitting behind, had nowhere to go. As soon as the gap opened, he absolutely flew down the sand side. And I think he's obviously, you know, he's got a lot of ticks in the right boxes. That was his first run over this distance, so he's obviously unexposed to the trip. By Lupo de Vega, of course, whose horses do just tend to improve with age. And I think, as you know, set a decent sort of price, 14, 16 to 1. And just another quick mention from Darius there, also the Aga Khan's, has been a lot of support for that one. That's shortened quite a lot in the betting as well, racing from stall number two. So not perhaps a bad draw, but no, cracking little contest. Very much looking forward to it. But Qualificar for me, you know, as I said, for Andre Farb, who's got a good record with three-year-olds in this race as well. Hurricane Run, of course, being one of those recent winners for him. Well, no, not recent, a few years ago, but he's had a few winners since.
Yes, it doesn't matter how long ago, he's certainly still got it. And well, we're pretty similar opinions on the arc in terms of the team postcast this weekend. Let's see what we think about the rest of Longchamp, because this really is Sunday on Longchamp is one of the great days of a racing calendar. Not just the arc, we've got the Foray 7 furlong Group One, which perhaps wasn't as appealing as it used to be. Now the City of York's also Group One, the Boussac and the Lagardère, really informative two-year-old contests, the Abbey over 5 furlongs, the Opera, which has been a target for a lot of horses as well. Let's go to you, Matt. What's taking your eye from the rest of the long shot. And we should still say, time of recording Thursday afternoon, we're still on entry, so no fully fields confirmed yet, but hopefully we've still got a bit of value.
Yeah, and sure, and it's a word you're going to hear a lot this weekend when it comes to the racing in long jump, and that's the draw. It's all draw, 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 especially in the Prix de l'Abbé, which is where if JM Jungle gets the benefit of the draw, I think he's got a really, really good shot in the Abbé. You know, I spoke to John and Sean Quinn before the Ebor meeting last month, and you know they were up for the Nunthorpe. They had him ready to go for that, but John already had his eye on the Abbé as the big end of season target for him to go for. Look, he won at Goodwood, I thought quite impressively. He showed a really, really brave attitude in the King George Stakes when there was a bit of cut in the ground. I mean, the horses he's beaten in that, he's worked out pretty red hot in the end. Asphora obviously went and bolted up in the Nunthorpe. Big Mojo was well in behind. He went and won in the Sprint Cup. So it's one of the better pieces of form you've got in a sprint division this year where everyone's been having their turn. I just pray that he gets a decent draw because he's not Highfield Princess. He won from a really high draw a couple of years ago. She was a superstar, but they're all taking their turns in this division. And if he gets that draw, and he'll have conditions in his favour. He's a really hardy sort who's graduated through the handicap systems. Even this season, he won the Dash earlier in the season. He's just one you can really sort of rely on. And I'd be happy to be in his camp again in the Abbé.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I think it's a brave man to back in any group sprints after the 2025 we've had. But there is one horse he's been reliable, who's JM Jungle. Keith, I know the sprints always intrigue you at this time of year, but Matt makes a good point. We're not sure exactly who's running yet. And that draw in the 5 furlong sprint course at Longchamp is so important as well.
Oh, it's vital. You basically don't want to back anything troubled figures at all. Ideally, you want to back something drawn 6 or less, really. JM Jungle is one of the horses I'm looking for in the Abbey. I'm not backing anything until I see the draw. I just want to make that absolute, and I don't recommend anybody does. But yeah, JM Jungle and also Washington Heights, who has been wanting 5 furlongs for a long time for me. If he gets stall 4 and JM Jungle gets drawn 15, I'm backing Washington Heights. But I wouldn't disagree with anything Matt said. I do think he's very interesting, JM Jungle, but I am just not backing anything that's drawn wide in the Abbey. In fact, I might end up backing neither of those two horses if they both get drawn in the car park. You know, it could be a case that I'll just back the one in the lowest 5 stalls that I actually fancy. That tends to be the way that wins the Abbey.
Yeah, watch the draw closely is the advice. That's the only thing we're certain of about Keith's selections in the Abbey at this point in time. And Brett, busy weekend, surely, with all this Group 1 action. Anything take your eye across those other races?
Yeah, well, as you said, we're waiting, aren't we, for the final decks to come through. But I was quite impressed with Aileen, who scored in the May Hill at Donny last month. And, you know, she's obviously quite a progressive sort. She's owned by Al Shakab, who obviously sponsored the meeting. So she's obviously going to be quite interesting if she runs in the Marsat Boussac. She's pretty versatile ground-wise. And then when I was on my Mediterranean cruise, I did manage to get a phone signal on Solario Stakes Day from Sandown. I did actually have a few quid on a bit of spirit in the Solario, who came out and won that. Just got up on there on the line. Humidity was back there in third. And obviously he's gone and ran well in the Royal Lodge last week. So there's quite a strong form line there with the Clive Cox runner. But again, we're just waiting on the final decorations. But I'm not saying they're going to be good enough to win, but I'll certainly be interested to see how they found what, as you said, James, it's just a cracking weekend of action. The good thing about the art meeting, I know Royal Ascot, they do tend to try and get a few international runners, but not quite as many as they hoped. Longchamp, Duba Tract, it's a real sort of international card. So there really is something for everyone, and lots of interest as well from all corners of the globe.
Definitely. Couldn't put it better myself. And for all the live coverage, all tips across the weekend, everything you could need and so much more, racingpost.com is the place to be. We've got a top team on course as well to bring you action live from Longchamp. We'll be turning our attention to the domestic action after this short break. Let's head to Newmarket, because the Group 1s are not just limited to France. We've also got one at Newmarket, where the ground on Thursday afternoon is good to firm, but with a bit of rain in the forecast. Our first race we'll be looking at is the 240 at Newmarket, the BetMGM Sun Chariot Stakes, where we've got a familiar rivalry, it seems, in the flat. Godolphin versus Wafnan. Godolphin have got the 2-1 favourite Cinderella's Dream, of course, going to the Breeders' Cup after this, taking on Fallen Angel, one of the stars of the season for Carl Burke, who continues to have winners left, right and centre after a fantastic weekend at Newmarket. Last weekend, Fallen Angel 85-40, Lady of Spain at 6-1, Blue Bolt 7s, Artelia 11s, along with Cheshire Dancer 18-1, with Cathedral, Sacra Sands 28-1, Spiritual 33s, and 66-1 Sparks Fly. Matt, let's come to you first. It's a Saturday. It's a Carl Burke runner. Does Fallen Angel win? Yes or no?
If they get the rain that they're threatening to get, then absolutely. I mean, it's good to firm at Newmarket currently. It's on Thursday, but we all know that there's quite a bit of rain coming through Britain on Friday and possibly into Saturday. If they get the 10 millimetres at the upper end of it, then I'm absolutely all over Falling Angel. I think she's just a complete star. You know, Group 1 winner at 2, Classic winner at 3, Dual Group 1 winner at 4. She's just someone you can just rely on completely. And if they get that rain, it just enhances her chances. They don't want rattling fast ground, which it may be at this stage, but it's the autumn that any weather can change. I think that goes in her favour. You know, Cinderella's Dream has been brilliant through the summer, but it's been on that rattling fast ground. And if the rain comes, then I think she's got no chance, whereas Fallen Angel would be the one they all have to beat. I mean, Cinderella's Dream is the Breeders' Cup bound, so we know she wants that really, really quick ground. So for me, I'm placing bets that the rain will have enough of an impact at Newmarket, even though they've got some strong winds on Saturday, to make it a winning one for Fallen Angel. She's just been such a star since the end of the summer, really, you know, winning at Deauville and Leopardstown. And she's one of those stars we really need to rack up a few group ones. And she might even be back next year, which is really, really good for the sport. And I think she can go off on end this season on a high anyway.
Yeah, certainly would be some prospect if we get Sierra at 5 next season. Fascinating to hear that. Matt, Keith, what's your verdict on the Sun Chariot?
Much the same. I like Fallen Angel a lot. She's been campaigned sort of at the back end this year more, hasn't she? You know, this time last year, she ran in the Matron, she was second. And then she went and ran in the Opera, actually. But she's too darn hot out of a Phillies mile winner, her dam was. She's more of a miler. She didn't stay in the Opera. She's a miler all through. And once Carl Burke established that, he's gone, well, you've got the Rothschild, you've got the Matron, you've got the Sun Chariot, and maybe even the QE2. I don't know if that's potentially on our agenda, but you just, all these mile group ones for a horse that likes a bit of cut, they're all at the back end. She's been campaigned that way. I hope it gets rewarded. I'd love to see a nice bit of campaigning, a bit of sensible campaigning, and that's exactly what Carl Burke's done with her. So I hope she does well. I hope she wins.
Okay, two possible shouts for Fallen Angel. We're going to make it three, Brett?
I think so, yeah. I mean, that was a good victory in the Matron last time under a penalty. As you said, she's got all the right credentials to go well. There's no real reason why she shouldn't be. It's probably quite significant that Cinderella's Dream and Lady of Spain are running at HQ rather than a long shot. They were both engaged in the Opera. I was quite impressed, actually, with Lady of Spain at Sandown last time. My only sort of concern for her would be the ground. She appears to like a bit of cut in the ground, so I'm not sure if she's quite going to get that. Again, it all depends on what happens at Newmarket. Even if there is a bit of rain, you know, you have a sort of a couple of hours of wind and it dries it right back out again. But no, she's you know, she's the one. There's little reason really to oppose her, and she's, you know, she's looked top notch. So you know, she's not a bad price. What, 9-4, 2-1 wouldn't be a bad price for her, to be honest. I mean, any other sort of day, James, this race would be, you know, highlighted, and this is the feature race of the day at Newmarket, but it's just sort of slipping slightly under the radar. It's a, you know, it's a pretty decent group one in its own right.
Yeah, you'd have to say, I completely agree. It's certainly a competitive group one by any stretch, as is the rest of a Newmarket card. So we've got the 130, the British EBF Premier Fillies Handicap, the 205, the 150 grand Tassels October Auction Stakes. Just as you say, Brett, 150 grand race here, and that's slipping down the pecking order on the busy weekend. And then the 350 as well from Newmarket's also on the ITV coverage, British Stallion Studs EBF Premier Fillies Handicap. Brett, you're going to take us through the first two races.
Well, I mean, the 5-2, we are paying 5 places each way, so you're going to get the best value in there. There's one horse at 66-1. You know, we have seen this season how big price horses have come home in front. A horse called Hungarian, who's actually had 3 starts, ran okay in all of them, got blinkers on for the first time, and, you know, could go at a decent sort of price. So, yeah, Hungarian for me, if you're looking at something each way. As you said, it's always good prize money for these big sales races. And I should just mention, because I did forget it, and I will get sacked if I don't, we will be top industry price every single runner in the Sun Chariot.
Good to know, especially as all our panel are all for Fallen Angel. No selections for Keith in the rest of Newmarket, but Matt, you have got something lined up.
Yeah, just one in the 350. It's Hot Flame for John and Thady Gosden. backed it last time to win when it was a Haydock. I thought it was really impressive when they just let her bowl out from the front. That was over a mile and two. She was quite keen in her races before that and very green, but she's learning all the time. And they must think a bit of her because she's entered in the British Champions Fillies and Mare Stakes on Champions Day at Ascot. She's stepping up to a mile and a half, but I don't think that'll be any issue because she's related to a few winners over 2 miles, and including James, you'll know from your patch area, Golden Rules, Tom Faulkner's horse, who was agonisingly beaten the Northumberland Plate a few years ago. So if they just let her bowl out from the front again, I think she might be quite handy. And I wouldn't be surprised if you see her ending up in Patton Company towards the end of the year, maybe the listed race at Doncaster on November Handicap Day might be one that they might have in mind as well. But she can take this one first.
Okay, thank you very much for that, Matt. Let's move ourselves on to Ascot. Ground is good at the time of recording on Thursday afternoon, and the first of three races we're going to be focusing on is the 225, the BetMGM Cumberland Lodge Stakes, and it's almost like a jumps race. This, all our familiar friends are back. Hamish at the top of the betting at 15-8. Can he make it win number 15 of his career? He's your 15-8 favourite. Al Quareem bidding for a third straight win in this race. He's 2-1. Military Academy at 5-1, along with Sir Dinadan. And Tenability, the 10-1 outsider. Let's come straight back to you, Matt. Lots of familiar names in here. Who is going to be the one that triumphs at Ascot?
Yeah, it's great. I almost feel horrible for going against Hamish, but I've always been in the Al Quareem team, and I'm going to keep the loyalty on this occasion. It's a race that obviously brings out the best in him, winning it the last 2 years, and he's been a star throughout the summer on ground, which probably isn't his best. You know, he's been winning group and listed races on rattling fast ground at York, and I thought it was a great run in the Irish St. Ledger last time as well. Ascot are going to get hit by rain by the looks of it as well as Newmarket. It just depends how much they're going to get. But I think any ease will help him in that case as well. He might just have just a little bit extra on Hamish. And overall ratings as well, Al Quareem is having the best time of his life. So I'm happy to stick with him for a hat trick.
2-1, Al Quareem. Brett, what's the verdict?
I can tell it's been back. Ministry Academy has been quite strong. Was 9-1. At decoration time, now very quickly moved into 5-1. Look at the weights for this race. Al Quareem is definitely worse off at the weights with Hamish. He's rated lower, but has got to carry more weight. So that obviously sort of swings with the favour of Hamish, who's obviously quite lightly raced this year. Was he at just the two runs this season? So he, at this time of year, you're looking at horses that might just have a little bit of freshness on their side. I know he's been quite hard to train, but for me, you know, I agree with everything Matt just said. You don't like to oppose Hamish because he's such a good performer. And I'm actually not going to go against him at the weights. I think that Hamish is the one to be on. But as I said, heed that advice. Military Academy has been very, very strong in a race where we are price boosting the favourite.
OK, and Keith, no strong opinion in this race, I don't think. But would you be with Hamish if you were pushed very hard to have a look at this race?
I've always been a little bit more about Al Quareem. I like that horse. But I won't be betting in it, as I say. It's a bit, they're... your standing dishes. There's nothing I can tell you about these horses, particularly if you've watched the racing, you'll know them by now. But yeah, I've always been a bit of an Al Quareem fan.
Okay, let's move on to the 3 o'clock at Ascot. Really good races. I think it's going to be quite intriguing to see what the panel think of it. The 3 o'clock at Ascot, the John Guest Racing Ben Gough Stakes. We've got the last two winners in the lineup, Apollo One and Anaf. Emerging sprinters taking them on. Let's go through the market for this one, the 3 o'clock at Ascot. And your favourite is... the recent winner, the improving horse for William Haggis, El Monjed at 7-2. Prince of India, 3-year-old for Marco Botti, could tee up a big weekend at Longchamp ahead of GL Velotto running in the arc. Well, Prince of India is 9-2. Apollo 1, 11-2 for last year's winner. Quinault at 13-2, along with Anaf. Salandine at 17-2. Run Boy Run, 11-1. Jabara, 12s. Lulu's Gift at 14s, along with Tiger Bay. Keith, we know you like these big sprints. What's the verdict on the Ben Gough?
Yeah, this is going to be a more interesting race, depending on a horse that runs tomorrow. Among the horses that are almost certainly going to run in this race, I quite like Kino. He's got course form. He has won at this level, for which he carries a penalty, unfortunately. But he has got the makeup of a horse I like over 6 at Ascot on the straight course. Got form over a bit further. He does tend to race prominently. He finds tons, and he's been third at the Shergar Cup in the past. I think he's the one among all the horses that are a bit shorter priced. But we've got a horse here called Tuco Salamanca, who is declared to run on the Friday card at Ascot. And if he runs there, there's a good chance he won't run on the Saturday. But he is really, really progressive. He picked them up and carried them in a racing league race two starts back. Then he went to, for a big handicap in Ireland and was one of the eye catchers of the season, you know, repeatedly hampered in that big field. So he's obviously a very progressive horse. And he's also got lots of all-weather form, which I quite like coming back to Ascot. And he has been second tier too on his way up the grades. Obviously, there is the doubt that he'll run. He might run on Friday and then not run here. But I don't think there's an awful lot of depth to this race. So if a horse as progressive as Tuco Salamanca turns up at a very big price, I think he's a really interesting each way bet. If he doesn't run, though, Kino for me is a sort of solid one among the market principles.
Yeah, Tuco Salamanca is 22-1 in the betting. Quinault is 13-2. Hey, who knows? You might even have a winner on Friday before we get into the big weekend. We'll wait and see. Matt, the Benngoff Stakes, who wins?
Yeah, I'm sticking with the tried and tested method. Apollo One was runner-up in the Portland last year for winning this, and he was runner-up in the Portland last time, and I think he'll take this as well. I think he just sort of comes alive at this time of the year. Last year in the Portland, he got within the nose of American Affair, who went and won the King Charles III Stakes for Royal Ascot last year. Not as close this time behind Eternal Sunshine, who should have really won the Air Bronze Cup. It was just a unfortunate stumble coming out the stalls. But in behind him that day was Runboy Run, who opposes in this race but did win the Air Gold Cup last time. So it's really strong handicap form, and it's sort of that form you're looking for in this sort of group three. There's not a real standout star. It's not the best of the quality of the group threes you'd ever get. So I'm happy to stick with Apollo One to repeat the trick.
Okay, and finally, Brett.
Yeah, so we're four places each way, so an extra place each way. And best backed in the race is Prince of India. Real strong support for that one, close to the top of the market. Could even go a favourite for Marco Botti and Jamie Spencer. Horse I quite like in it, Celandine. You know, she's quite a smart filly. She's stepping down in grade. She's stepping back up in trip. I think that's a crucial thing for her. She's won three races, all of them over six furlongs. Of course, won the Lauder up at York last year, beating Time for Sandals. That's obviously rock solid form. I just think, you know, she could be one to take advantage. Fillies this time of year is a little bit of a concern. It's starting to get quite chilly, so you just sort of might be paid to go and have a look at these fillies in any filly or any horse, but especially the fillies this time of year in the paddocks to get a look and see how they are in their coats. But you know, she's got some rock solid form, and I just think a few of them have been on the go. She's still quite lightly raced. I think there might just be a bit more to come from her. So Celandine for me, and what's, you know, a cracking race, as I said, where we are paying an extra place each way.
Okay, final race we'll be looking at in Focus. And, well, lads, it doesn't get much easier, does it? The 335 at Ascot, the BetMGM Challenge Cup, a huge field for this one. And a rare link-up with Jamie Spencer and Wafnan. Jamie Spencer is free from seven when riding, and he has got a big favourite on the Saturday in Native Warrior for Carl Burke. Great Native Warrior is 7-2, I should say. Great Acclaim at 6-1. Hickory at 7s. Rami at 9-1. Thunder Roar 11s, Two Tribes, the Stewards Cup winner is 12-1, along with Tarkam. Puro Sangay 12-1 too, along with Murabu. 14-1 is Carry the One and Balamakara, along with Arcadian Thunder and Linwood. Loads of key chances in this one, Matt. Is it Carl Burke again in the favourite?
Yeah, it's a really, really difficult race, and I don't have a huge opinion on it. I'm happy to side with Native Warrior. I just thought he absolutely blew them apart last time. It was a Jamie Spencer special, and it's notable that he's been recruited to ride again, given wherever all the other jockeys are in the world at the weekend. I think he can defy his hefty rise quite easily, but I've got no big opinion on the race. It's a bit of a minefield, to be honest with you. So I'm happy to side with that and say Carl's been in very, very good form. He did me well last week, so I'm happy to keep him on side again.
Okay, thanks for that, Matt. Keith, what's the verdict?
Very competitive race, and I'm not going heavily on anything, but I have seen one at a bit of a price that, you know, you'll be getting an extra place, or I'd imagine, and I thought that Tarkan was quite an interesting horse. It was a lower sort of listed group horse last year when he was running in races in Germany and Italy, and generally did his best work in the spring and the autumn, so when the ground was a little bit more testing. There would be a good chance that he's been sort of saved for similar conditions on his first season with Jamie Osborne, I would say. And yeah, he has hit form a little bit in recent times. He was second in a good race at Sandown when it was soft at the tail end of August, and you know he ran a solid enough race here to be sixth. Then after that he was second at Newbury. Just a horse that's finding his form. On last year's form, you know, he's come down. I think he's come down about 8 pounds in the weights since he came to Britain. You know, he's on a good mark now, and I think he may be the sort of take advantage. You know, the draw in 10, it's bang in the middle. Most of the season, you would see that as a little bit of a nothing, but now I think they don't necessarily just tack that near rail at Ascot at this time of year. So I'm a little bit happier with the draw than I otherwise maybe would have been. So I just thought Tarkan, in a race where you want to just be taking each way and maybe taking advantage of the additional place, he is the horse for me.
At 12-1. Finish it off, Brett.
Yeah, but Keith's got it right. 5 places each way in this race, so you will get an extra place. The money horse is the favourite here. Native Warrior, real strong at the top of the market for Jamie Spencer. I mean, again, what Keith was saying, you know, do you go for a horse that's sort of coming down the handicap or go for one that's still improving and on the upgrade? But Native Warrior is definitely on the upgrade. Got put up £8 for winning last time over course and distance. Whether that's sort of too harsh a penalty, time will tell, but he's obviously quite progressive. And I mean, Carberry, just look at the horses he's got this year. I mean, it's just, you know, I suppose at the minute, it sounds stupid, he's a sort of Aidan O'Brien of the UK, isn't he? Just, you know, he's banging in winners left, right and centre. You know, he must wake up in the morning, just, you know, look around his yard and just think, Christ, you know, can't believe it. But yeah, Native Warrior, you know, strong favourite and expected to do the business.
Okay, let's move on to the rest of ITV. We've got 3 more races just to get some quick selections on. 2 at Ascot, that's the 115 at Ascot, the McGee Group British EBF October Stakes, the 150 to BetMGM Rouge Stakes, and our 1 race in the north, the 320 at Redcar, the William Hill 2-year-old trophy, which is where we'll start, Matt. One of our men in the north, one of our reporters in the north. Big day at Redcar.
It is. It's almost a shame they're sort of slightly, they're going to be overlooked because it's such a brilliant weekend of action. But yeah, it's the big one on T side for them this year. It's sort of got another nice field, 16 going to post. And the one for me, obviously, is the standout is Song of the Clyde. He was really good in the sales race at York and he ran an absolute storm of only beaten very narrowly in a similar race at Doncaster. It seems like these kind of races bring out the absolute best in him. He's not got the best draw. There's been a few instances of Redcar throughout the last couple of years where you want to be on the inside in the Golden Highway, but he's £5 clear on ratings, and he is the one to beat. And it's great that a smaller track is getting their fair share of airtime this weekend as well. I hope it's a good day for them all up in the, well, not the northeast, in the north of Yorkshire, in the Middlesbrough area.
Of course. And just before we let you go, Matt, those 2 races at Ascot, anything catch your eye?
Yes, in the 150, actually, it's probably the best bet of the day. And you guessed it, it's Carl Burke's runner again. Look, beautiful diamond in the Rouse. Look, she was beaten in it last year by Rumstar, who, you know, this season has gone on to prove a real, real good group race performer. And there's no horse like him in the lineup this year. She's getting weight. She's getting £5 from Chagrin, who's the nearest rival in the market because he ran a great race when second in a Group 3 at Newbury last month. But she loves these slower surfaces. She was 8th in the Palace House earlier in the year on good to firm, and she got quite jarred up that day. So they gave her the time to come back to her best. She went up to air for a listed race at the Western meet, and then she was brilliant on her return from quite a long absence. It feels like, again, as Keith alluded to earlier in the podcast, Carl Burke's, they really set out to campaign her with this autumn ground in mind, and I think she should be really, really hard to beat. She's got the best form in the race, I'd say, and she can avenge her defeat in it last year.
A strong fancy from Matt and potentially teeing up what his nap will be. That's still to come, but we'll wait and see if that is indeed the Rennie nap. Keith, what else has caught your eye, whether it's in these races or indeed the rest of a very busy Saturday?
Yes, it is a good race, a good meeting at Ascot, and a few races of interest to me. I mean, the Rouse Stakes is the sprint I'm least interested in as a betting medium because I think the market's got it right, to be honest. I'd have had Chagrin, maybe slight favourite ahead of Beautiful Diamond. She was punching down last time, and I think he's improving, actually, on the sly. But, you know, it's not joint favourites isn't wrong enough for me to say I'm definitely backing Chagrin. You know, it's an interesting race enough, but I think the market's got it right. I am having a bet in the last race at Ascot. Actually, there's a 5-furlong sprint later on the card, and we've already talked about the draw at this time of year being different at Ascot. I always look for high numbers on that straight course at Ascot normally, but once the ground goes, it becomes a little bit more of a free-for-all, which is just as well, really, because Venture Capital, who are quite fancy in the last at Ascot, is in stall one, far away as you can get from that near standside rail. But the horse that I really fancy for the Portland last time didn't get the best of that run that day. You know, he was easy to back, actually, which was a bit surprising to me. But he got the worst of the star, and he wasn't really in the right place. And I'm just writing it off. Before that, he was interesting. He'd actually finished third to Vintage Claret's at the Shergar Cup here over this course and distance. So he's obviously... And the fact that he was so easy to back in the Portland maybe says to me that coming back to Ascot was the big day out. So Venture Capital for me in the 4-10.
Yeah, it's in the 4-10 at Ascot, and another one for Jamie Spencer, who could have a good day on Saturday. Brett, what else have you got for us? We've not touched on the 1:15 at Ascot yet.
Yeah, so I might as well give you the offers there. If you back the second or third, money back as cash, and we're paying an extra place each way in that that 1:15. Love Dynasty is an interesting one for me, for Kevin Ryan, first run for the trainer in the Curzon Cliff Logistics. Only had two starts, won both of them. Hasn't been seen for almost a year, but it's got to be of interest in this listed race. But money-wise, Nadra has been very strong, real strong support for this one, into around 9-1 from 16 for Saeed Sahel and Kieran Fallon and William Haggis. And then the 1:50, we're paying four places each way there, where cover-up has been quite strong as well. So some interesting moves. And we should also just say, whilst you've got me, James, in that Giro trophy at Redcar, we are five places each way. There's one horse that interests me here, Mystical Eye, for Andrew Boarding. I've not actually checked what price it is, but only ran 2 days ago, finishing fifth. I mean, I know this is an early closer, but you wouldn't think that Andrew Boarding would be running a runner horse side that quick, having made his debut just a couple of days ago. So, you know, as I said, take it with a pinch of salt, but I think it's just got to be interesting just to see how it runs just 3 days after making its debut. But no, good old race, the Redcar, and as I said, a nice highlight for the track. I used to work out there. I used to get to where they'd been and think, oh, I'm nearly there. Now I just have to drive back another 3 hours on. So it's a long, long way up.
Okay, so a bit of a throwback at Redcar on Saturday for you, Brett. Let's take a look at our best bet of the weekend, but first, a word from our sponsors.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out, you're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 uni boosts every day on any horses you want. You're on.
Okay, it's that time in the show. We have to identify our best bet of the weekend. And my word, we've got a lot to choose from. All of Longchamp on ITV and big day at Ascot. Loads of selections at Newmarket, Redcar. Matt, it must be hard to whittle it down, but you've hinted at what it might be.
Yeah, very hard, but I'm putting my trust in Carl Burke in. Beautiful diamond for me in the 1:50 Ascot, the Rouse Stakes. Just think she's going to be, I think everything looks right for her to be better than all of them.
Keith, what has taken your fancy the most?
It's a funny one because, you know, I'm playing the Arc. Remember when you used to couple horses on the PMU, the Fabra horses for the Arcs, probably that's as excited as I am about a bet all weekend, if I'm quite honest. But that's not really nap material. So my nap would probably be Fallen Angel in the Sun Chariot.
Fallen Angel in the Sun Chariot. That's the 2:40 at Newmarket. Brett?
Yeah, I'm going to go for Celandine in the 3 o'clock at Ascot, the Benngoff Stakes. So she's a top class filly. She's unbeaten over 6 furlongs. She wasn't beaten too far in the Nunthorpe last time over 5. So she's stepping back up in distance here today. And I think she's got solid credentials in a race where we are paying four places each way.
Okay, Brett, I think I'm going to take you on. Prince of India touched on Jamie Spencer's rides at Ascot. I think this might be the best of the lot. Improving horse. Just feel the best is still to come from Prince of India. So I'm going to take you on Prince of India in the 3 o'clock at Ascot at 9-2 with Unibet. That wraps up hell of a lot of racing to get through on this week's show. But thank you very much to our panel. That's Keith Melrose, Matt Rennie and Brett Williams from Unibet. And thanks for you for watching along as well. Loads of tips to get you started for Arc Weekend and all the top racing. If you're a fan of a show, do remember to rate, review and subscribe. Got any fancies across a busy weekend? Make sure to fire them in the comments and throw us a like as well if you're a fan of the podcast. Join us again next week at 7 o'clock, where we've got some more top flat racing and the return of the jumps. Smile on my face is hard to find. It's Chepstow next week. We're almost there, jumps fans, but still so much good flat racing to get through. Have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy all the action wherever you're watching. And of course, gamble responsibly.